Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, thank you, Gary, for that announcement, and we're so glad that we're here with you today. And wherever you are, all over the world, because we have got hits from all over the world on our on the internet, and we have, thank God for it. So there's Christians everywhere. And the Bible, it reminds me of a verse in the Bible where it says that there will be a day when the praise and worship of God will be worldwide. It said it in the Old Testament. And so it is. And we up here in Cleveland, Ohio, and that's where this program is coming from. The temperature is really nice, and we've had some really cold weather. We were talking the other day, and it sort of makes me laugh because they have this big thing on global warming, and some people got rich off of it, and so they're living a pretty good life. Anyway, they're still discussing the whether it's true or not that the whole world is getting warmer or not. You know, it looks like last winter the Lord sort of stepped into the discussion, and it was one of the coldest winters on record. That's sort of funny. You know, the Lord can do whatever he wants to do. And he's alive and well, and we talk about that on our program. I'm glad today we have with us, we have Marvin Bassinger, and he's very important in this because he brings me here. And Pastor Al Davis, and he's a great help. He's a great blessing being on this program, and he's very wise. When I need to find something, he finds it on his computer. And then we have Linda with us, and we're glad for her. She loves the Lord. And so it's a good day. Clark is just, I think he is just getting better every day. He took a fall the other day, and so he's been in the hospital, and he had been taking me to the program, but he's getting better also. And I know he's listening. So, Clark, God bless you, and you have a wonderful day. Now, we're one more day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus comes back to the earth, and he's told us some things that would happen right at the time that he's coming back. We're going to discuss them, but first we have a report from Pastor Al Davis. And he's going to give us a science report from the Bible, because the Bible, whatever it says, if it's science, if it's archaeology, if it's history, if it's the knowledge of God, it is true, absolutely true. And we're not talking some mystical Bible that nobody has or nobody knows where it is or in some papyri somewhere in a cave, but we're talking about the authorized King James Bible. And we have the Word of God today because the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words. It's silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And verses talking about the Word of God always point like a laser to the King James Bible. It's interesting that God said he would make a covenant with Jacob and that the words would last forever. And King James is the English translation of Jacob. And so we have God's word today. And if you just read it and you believe it, you'll know where it is. But first, we're going to have a science report.
Well, thanks, Bruce. And I just wanted to share something. Actually, I'm going to touch on two things that are in the scripture in the Old Testament. And I like when you find science in the Bible like this, because this shows that it had to have some origin other than just man's, you know, imaginations, when you can find recorded science. And these two deal with both geology and prophecy, which ties them together nicely. In Zechariah chapter 14, there's a prophecy of when the Lord returns to Mount Zion, returns to this earth, and he sets foot on the Mount of Olives, actually, and then proceeds over to Mount Zion, which is in Jerusalem. But in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, the Bible says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." People say, well, that's just got to be poetic language, because that's kind of foolish. A whole mountain splitting in half, and that's just not reasonable to believe that. However, scientists and geologists studying this, in fact, the Geological Institute in Tel Aviv, discovered there's a major fault line that runs right exactly through the Mount of Olives, just as Zechariah describes in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4. And in this fault line, it's actually part of a greater system that runs from Syria in the north all the way down through the Dead Sea in the south, and even all the way down into eastern part of Africa. And there's a major fault line, a major rift valley through there, and it's just waiting for something to trigger it. And I'd say the trigger is the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down from heaven, setting foot on that mountain. There's a great earthquake, the Bible says, and that mountain splits in half, and it'll split in half exactly the way that Zechariah foretold. The geologists have shown that that could happen. Now, along with that, over in the book of Ezekiel, there's a prophecy that out of that valley, or out of in through that valley that results, and Zechariah touches on this as well, of course. Before I jump over to Ezekiel, Zechariah 14, verse 8 says, "And in that day the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea, and summer and winter shall it be." And this prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 47, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward." Now, eastward is going to be over toward the Mount of Olives. And it says, "For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." And all of this is going to allow the water that comes out, and I won't read through all of chapter 47, but the water starts out ankle deep, goes to knee deep, thigh deep, too deep to swim across, and it goes down in, brings life and healing to the Dead Sea, which is so salty right now that no fish or anything live in it. And there's going to be fishermen, Ezekiel's prophecy in chapter 47 there describes, as this water flows in. You say, "Well, okay, you got me on the mountain splitting in half. There's a fault line, but where's this water going to come from?" Well, interestingly enough, the Jewish newspaper, Haaretz, they had an article a couple years ago saying that Israel's largest underground water source was discovered near the Jerusalem Convention Center. Underneath Jerusalem is one of the largest aquifers in all of Israel. And all you have to do is have a rift that goes into that, opens it up, allowing it to come out, flowing into that great valley, and it'll flow down into the Dead Sea. And bring it, it. All it has to do is dilute the waters enough so that the fish can live in it. And there again is another prophecy that can be fulfilled, and science and geology back it right up, underscoring the truth of God's word yet again.
Well, thanks for that great report. I like that, you know, and the idea that the water is going to come out of Jerusalem and then go down into the Dead Sea, and it'll make that sea come alive. There'll be fish there and everything. And right now, why it's so full of salt, you could practically float on it whether you knew how to swim or not.
Right. And in fact, Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel 47 describes the fishermen spreading their nets and fishing with fish that are like that in the sea, the great sea, which suggests it'll be a salty water. And it may be that the Dead Sea Valley will open up to the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba there, which is all part of that Rift Valley too. And it'll be amazing, won't it, to see that happen?
Absolutely.
And it's right there in the Bible.
You know, if you look south of that area there, you get up on a mountain there and you look south and you see this thing. It looks like a great big long bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like that it was made for a seed to be there. You know, it's rounded and everything, and it's real long. And you can see it, and it looks like there was a sea in there at one time, or it could hold a sea in there. And so that'll make it very interesting if that thing gets filled up with water, which it could be.
Yeah.
But
I just think it's going to be exciting. And there are fears. Geologists do have fears because it is a rift valley, and there's been a number of earthquakes there in recent years in that region. And it's, like you said, it's evaporated a lot of water out of there. Sodom and Gomorrah would have been in that area, and at one time it would have been more fertile. But now it's obviously salty and nothing growing there. But there are people there with fisheries and things getting ready for the day that they'll be able to stock fish into the revitalized Dead Sea. They'll have to change the name.
Sure. You know, it's interesting also that the Bible talks about oil being in a certain place in Israel, and they're discovering oil there. Also, where the Bible says this book is supernatural, and it's written by Almighty God. And you know where he's talking about Jerusalem? When the Lord Jesus left this earth, he went up from the Mount of Olives, which is outside of Jerusalem. And the angel said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." How did he go? Well, his disciples were there, and they watched him as he slowly went up from the Mount of Olives. And he went up physically and bodily into heaven from the Mount of Olives. And yet you read in Zechariah chapter 12, "The Lord himself shall return, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives." So Jesus went up bodily and physically into heaven from there, and he will come back bodily and physically to the Mount of Olives. But here's another scripture verse that deals. This is a great prophecy. It's just a short scripture verse, but it's an incredible prophecy, I believe. And you don't hear this talked about very much, but here it says in Psalm 102, verse 16, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." Now, Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion. And so there's buildings being built all over Mount Zion. And it says, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." Well, buildings are being built, hotels are being built, everything is being built on Mount Zion now, and people are coming to live there. And it says, when that happens, when the Lord shall build up Mount Zion, he shall appear in his glory. That is, it's getting very close to the time when Jesus comes back. And you know, the whole world now is being divided over Mount Zion. And to some people, Zionism is a cuss word. And probably influenced by the devil, because Jesus is going to rule this world from Mount Zion. And it will be a worldwide government in which every problem will be solved. But Jesus will come back, it says, when it is built up. And so today, all kinds of groups want Mount Zion. The Muslims want it. The Roman Catholic Church wants it. And they have all tried to get control of it. United Nations got their paddle in and trying to control it. But in the end, our great God and King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come back and rule from Mount Zion. And Mount Zion is very important to God. And Jerusalem is very important to God. That's where he will physically dwell. And Jesus one day will teach in a temple there in Jerusalem. He will actually teach himself personally and physically from Mount Zion, and he will rule as a priest from Mount Zion, but also the king of this world. And, you know, the governments of this world, the socialists, are working towards a world government, and even when they're doing it, and even though they are against God, God is going to allow them to set this kingdom up under the Antichrist. And once it's set up, he's just going to say, "Checkmate, the game's over with, I'm taking over." So they're setting it up right now for Jesus to take over. And God says, while they're setting this up, and they're setting it up, they're trying to get rid of the name of Jesus all the time. They don't want to have any room for him. But while they're setting this government up, the Bible says God's laughing at them in Psalms 2. Why is he laughing? Because when they set it up without him and trying to get rid of him, when it is completely set up, then he simply is going to take it over. And he is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's our personal and wonderful Savior. And that means 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross, some people discuss who killed him. Well, Jesus says, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up." You know, if Jesus wasn't who he claimed to be, he was talking like a madman. Who? What religious leader could ever say, "I have power. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. I will die physically, and then I will bodily rise from the dead." Well, no, nobody else could have said such a thing because it would have proved them an imposter. But Jesus said it all over the place, and he said, "The third day I'm going to rise from the dead." And so the third day he walked out from the tomb, and death couldn't keep him. Hell couldn't keep him. The devil couldn't keep him. The Philistines couldn't keep him. Israel couldn't keep him. Nobody could keep him. And on the third day, he walked out of that tomb. And we sing about it. And on Easter, or we can call it also Resurrection Day, he walked out. We've been singing about it ever since. And we've been rejoicing in it because Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." First, he died for our sins. He was punished for every sin. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you will meet God without any record of your sin. If the Bible teaches anything, that's what it teaches. That's the good news. That's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. And the fact that he died is, again, proven by his resurrection, that he satisfied God's demands. And Jesus lived a perfect life. And God counted our sins to him. He died for our sins. And then he lived a perfect life. And his perfect life is counted to us. I'll tell you, that's a good deal. And in all through the Bible, it teaches these themes everywhere. And in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, it states this: "Blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity." I was reading that when I was in the hospital. I'm telling you, that so thrilled me, because I know I've sinned. And yet God doesn't even count our sins against us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some Christians say, "Well, God will punish me for that." Listen, God never, when you get saved, all the punishment that you will ever get has been paid for 2,000 years ago. God never punishes his children, never. There's no such thing in the Bible. God will discipline you to bring you back into fellowship when you get out of line, but punishment has been paid for. Punishment is out, and you don't understand Christianity if you think so. And the Bible says he is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And every Christian knows that. That's a prophetic verse. That is prophecy. And the prophecy is, when I die, when Al dies, when Marvin dies, when Linda dies, we will all meet the Lord without any record that we have ever sinned. And God will be totally satisfied with us because we put our faith in Christ. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And when we put our faith in Jesus, the perfect life of Jesus is counted to us, and our sins have been counted to him. And God says, "Your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more." And I tell you, that's why Christians should be happy and be thrilled about that, because never will God remember our sins against us, and that is such a blessing. I wouldn't want to meet the Lord with the record of my sins. There wouldn't be any joy. But it says we'll meet God with exceeding joy. We'll see the one that died for us. And we know that he loved us. And then we'll, after we meet him, all of our loved ones that have been saved and born again, God will have raised them from the dead. And I think of, here's a husband that has been lost in the sea and his fish have eaten his body. And his wife meets him once again because both of them trusted in Jesus. Here's a little child that has died, and the father and mother meet the child once again. And here's somebody's died in old age, and their body is broken down, and yet they'll have a new body that'll be a supernatural body that'll never grow old, never, no pain. It won't have blood in it. The Bible says flesh and blood doth not inherit the kingdom of God, but it'll be a body of flesh and bones. And the proof is that Jesus said that when he died, he was coming out with a body. And when he first met his disciples, he said to them, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." And so we're going to have a body of flesh and bones, and we're going to, the sinful nature, they're going to bury that, and we won't even have any temptation to sin anymore. And all the troubles that we have had, and the depression and the physical pain, all that stuff, The Bible says the former things have passed away, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I think, you know, a mom, a mother, if the baby's crying, she knows how to help that baby, and so the baby will stop crying. She knows what to do with the baby. But the one that made mothers, he knows how to take all the pain and suffering and tears and depression, and all those things are former things. Jesus himself will meet us and take them away. And I just think that when these millions of us have met with one another, and then Jesus walks into the room in the Revelation, the whole universe, God's going to hook up a microphone to that thing. It'll be his supernatural microphone, and the whole universe will hear us be praising our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Bible says here in Psalm 102, verse 16, it says that when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. 100 years ago, there wasn't much of Zion. There's only a few old houses and so on. But now it is a great modern city. And that will be the world capital in Zion, in Jerusalem. If you want to go to the capital city of the world, you can go over there and visit it. And God himself will be there, and he's going to teach people in the temple there. Himself, Jesus, will be there. And this world will once again go back to something as great as the Garden of Eden at that time. Well, I just went to also this program. We uphold the authorized King James Bible, and we have absolutely good reasons for it. And we want to put out and advertise books. There's many of them, but the bookstores won't sell them because they have a new Bible every other year. And why are they constantly putting them out? Well, it's money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know, in other words, the root is what nourishes the plant, and the love of money nourishes all evil. It's that love of money that it keeps the evil going, and it multiplies it. And so they will not sell these books, and these have been highly researched. And one of the best ones that sold 300,000 copies wasn't advertised worldwide, but it is called New Age Bible Versions, and people just passed it on by word of mouth. And it shows the differences between the modern versions and the authorized King James Bible. And it actually has 2,500 scripture verses, shows the scripture verse in the King James and then in the modern versions, and shows that they have been influenced by New Age thinking. And the evidence and proof is right there. And of course, there'll be people that are making money and committed to the corrupt Bibles that will talk against it, but it is absolutely a masterpiece. And Gail Riplinger has written other books like In Awe of the Word, which is once again a masterpiece. And we try to, there's other people that have written also, and we try to advertise these, but the book called In Awe of the Word, or New Age Bible Versions, or Hazardous Materials, these are well-researched books and some of the greatest books that I have ever read in my life. This has somewhere around 900 pages and divided into 41 different chapters on 41 different subjects. And she has one chapter dealing with women and shows how the modern ones put down women, but the King James exalts them and lifts them up. And you could check this out. Anything that we say here, we're glad if you check it out. And you're welcome to call us while we're on the air also, but you're welcome to call us afterwards. We hadn't been mentioning that and talked to you about it. But I don't understand anybody not reading this. Every preacher should read some of these books. New Age Bible Version shows the difference between the true Word of God, which has come down to us from Christ and the apostles, and the modern versions, which come from the Gnostics, basically, and are corrupt. And somebody says, well, since the King James came out, they found new evidence and new manuscripts and so on. Well, they don't know if they think that the ones that they found since the King James came out go against it. Actually, the evidence is more overwhelming now than what they had at the time of King James in support of the authorized King James Bible. I'm going to ask Brother Al to give you the address and phone number where you can get contact and get some of these books that I've just mentioned.
All right, give you a couple things. And as Bruce mentioned, if you would like to call and talk to Bruce, you can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's the phone number here. And you can get on the air with Bruce. That's 888-677-9673. And if you go to the website for this program at whereisgodsword.com, that's whereisgodsword.com, you can find a link to the books that Bruce mentions here. Or if you'd like to directly, you can go to Gail Riplinger's site, Authorized Version Publications, at avpublications.com. That's avpublications.com. Or you can simply call 800-435, and that's the for credit card orders, 435-4535, or you can call 276-251-1734. That's 276-251-1734. And as I said, if you go to the website whereisgodsword.com, there's a link to these things here for Authorized Version Publications.
All right, thank you for that. And at this time, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with you, and you can call in from wherever you're at in the world. We'd like to hear you from some other countries.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulo.
My children attend public school, and they're all in high school this year. For the last 3 years, the science teacher has been bringing a Ouija board to school for earth science class, and he just thinks there's no spiritual validity to it. And so his angle is to disprove that a Ouija board is effective.
To be honest with you, I can't imagine what the educational purpose of having a Ouija board in the classroom. It doesn't even make sense to me why they would allow that as part of an approved curriculum in a classroom. So what I think you need to do is deal with the curriculum committee. That's the best way to move forward when you've got an objection in the curriculum to a particular method or a particular approach to teaching something. Deal with the curriculum committee at the school board. It's one of the most effective ways to do it, and they're one of the most influential aspects of the school board is that curriculum committee.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Two ears, two eyes, only one mouth. Maybe that should tell us something. Hello, this is Chuck Swindoll. I want to challenge you to join me in becoming a better listener with your mate, your kids, your boss, your clients, your fellow Christians, as well as many who need to meet Christ. Now, what does it take? Let's start with caring, and then time, unselfishness, concentration, restraint, holding the other person in high esteem, the hearing ear and the seeing eye. The Lord has made both of them, writes Solomon in Proverbs 20, verse 12. We can do it. Let's really start listening.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
I want to read it from Psalm 119, what God says about God's word once again. And in Psalm 138, in verse 2, it says, I will worship towards thy holy temple, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You know, that's the verse we've talked about already that points to the King James Bible, because it has been honored more than any book that was ever written. The Authorized King James Bible. And presidents have talked about it. Some of the leading scholars in the world have promoted it. And the literature of it, the supernatural aspects and everything have been held up. It's still, it's still in recent polls, more people read this than all the rest of them put together by a long shot, you know. And that's one of the reasons is Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Well, hundreds of other translations have come and gone. This one continues on as strong as ever, and yet it's taught against in many schools, seminaries, talked against on radio and television where they correct it. And so God's word continues. It says in the book of Psalms, it says that grass withereth, flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so no matter who attacks it, it stands. And we think so many people have trusted in it, believed it. Famous scientist Michael Faraday, he was a believer in the King James. He believed it was the perfect word of God. And we have quoted many of the leading Christians in the past that believed the King James was the word of God. Today, we haven't so much of evangelical. They'll talk like they have it. Then when you ask them where it is, they can't tell you. It's sort of a mystical Bible, and they'll say every word is true. The Bible is infallible, inspired. Then you say, well, where is it? Well, they don't know, you know. I guess they think it's in a cave somewhere. But God has told us where it is. And the words that talk about the Word of God go like a laser right to the King James Bible. But we want to read this Psalm 119, what it says about the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So the law of the Lord refers to God's Word. And people walk in it. That is, they live by it. And that's one of the reasons people don't like the Bible, because they don't like what it says about how they're to live. They like to live in their wickedness. And so, it's interesting that some of these judges, they don't want the Ten Commandments anywhere. And it makes me simply think that if they look at them, they see that they're violating them, and they don't like to look at something that shows them their sin. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Well, you can't keep them unless you have them. This program is saying we have God's word. James says you can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something we can look at. The Bible says talks about holding the Word of God. It's something that we have. I'm looking at a King James Bible, and I'm looking at God's Word. They seek him with their whole heart. That is, the people that go by the Word of God, they seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Well, we can't keep them unless we have them. Amen? We have to have them in order to keep them. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Again, referring to the word of God. He's praying that he can keep God's word, that he will keep it. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And I'm thinking that he says that he has respect to all his commandments. Well, we have to have a Bible that is true, that every word is true. And you know, Paul says one time that he was a believer. He believed the Bible that he had was true, every part of it. He says, after the way that they call heresy, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all that is written in the law and the prophets. And this is found in the book of Acts. Well, you know, there are certain colleges today and certain places, they teach that it's heresy to believe that you actually have God's word, perfect word. And they would call a Bible believer an heretic for believing that he has God's word. If you study, if you get a book in the library on church history and you read heretic, usually it's talking about Bible believers that are called heretics. They're not interested in what man says about religion. Today, why so many people are out there and they make up a religion in their head. It's a man-made religion, and then they try to find proof of it in the Bible. Well, Bible believer, they make their religion is based on the Word of God. And when we accept Christ, we accept him as Lord and Savior. And Lord means we recognize he is the authority. And how is he our Lord? Well, he's Lord through the Word of God, the Bible. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? So if he's our Lord, then we go by his words. We don't follow him by what our emotions tell us or what our friends tell us, even necessarily what some professor says or some college or the newspapers, magazines. He is our Lord, and we follow him based on his words. So he says, I won't be ashamed when I have respect to all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. See, when they learn the word of God, they praise him for it. And we try to do that on this program. We praise the Lord because of his righteous judgments. And, in the Code of Hammurabi that was written, they had a lot of laws written, but it was one law for the wealthy and one law for the poor. one law for the homeborn, one law for the stranger. But in the Word of God, it has one law for everybody, the rich, the poor, the stranger, the foreigner, one law. And so we praise him for the Word of God. It's right scientifically. It's right historically. It's right when it comes to salvation. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. And so we're to read the Bible and do it. If it says praise the Lord, praise him. If it says thank him, thank him. If it says witness, witness. Do whatever he says. And if your Christian life is sort of on hold and you're not getting the blessings you should, just start doing what God says. Read the Bible. I try to read, when I'm reading the Bible every day, I see something in there and I say, Lord, help me to do it. Lord, I want to do this. And right away, you pray and ask the Lord to help you. And when it gives us a blessing, thank him right there on the spot, see? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Well, if he is going to listen to his word, he has to have his word. And unfortunately, even in evangelicalism today, they don't actually believe they have his word. I hear in a church, they'll say, you got to remember the King James is a translation. Well, you know what they're saying? That's the words of men when they say that. In other words, it has errors in it because man, whatever he does, has errors in it. No, it doesn't, because God said all over and over he would preserve his words. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. And God says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. In the New Testament, when they spoke in tongues, they could learn. They could speak languages without learning. Today, when people profess to speak in tongues, if the preacher goes to a foreign country, he needs an interpreter. Every missionary today needs an interpreter when they go to a foreign country, or they have to learn, spend years learning the language. So, but back there in the early church, they had, it says in the book of Acts there, it says that every man, when they preached the word of God, every man heard them in his own language in which he was born. 13 languages are mentioned. Everybody hears them in their own language. So that's how God got his word out. But for a person to listen to it, they have to have it. And what we're saying on this program is we have it today. We have the perfect word of God. James says that he looks at the perfect law, word of God, the perfect law of liberty. He can see it. And we could see it today. I don't believe in these Bible correctors. And a lot of times I think they're just showing off. That's what they're doing. And they're committing a great sin. I think about in the Old Testament when the Ark of God came back and it stayed at the one house, person's house, and there's a fellow named Uzzah, and it looked like it was coming off the cart. Shouldn't have been on the cart in the first place because the Levites should have been carrying it with staves. But it looked like it was going to fall. And he stuck up his hand to put the ark back in place, and God struck him dead. And God was saying by there, you don't mess with my word. I wouldn't want to change one word in this King James Bible. I would be afraid to. And one translation came out, and it was put out by the Lachman Foundation, and a preacher named Logsdon. We mentioned this before, but it should be brought up all the time. That's why we bring it up. His pastor, Moody Church, And he promoted the New American Standard Bible. It's a counterfeit Bible. And he was part of the promotion committee. And he said to Lachman, he said, I want to talk to you. I'm afraid we have done something terribly wrong. And so Lachman says, well, when I get back from my honeymoon, he says, I'll talk to you. And he didn't come back with the bride. He came back in a box. They buried him when he came back. So after that, Logsdon, who is pastor of Moody Church, he started to talk against the New American Standard perversion Bible. And he said, we have the Word of God today, and it's true, and it's perfect. And he says the King James Bible. We're not just some new thing that is developed when we have this radio program. We've been reading Moody. We've been reading Spurgeon. We read Logsdon. We read Billy Sunday. All of these individuals believe that they had the Word of God, and it was in the King James Bible. And you read some of these books that we put out, and they're masterpieces. They know the subject backwards and forwards, and And it's based on Scripture. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So how do you seek God? Well, it's in God's word. It's his commandments that are found in his word. So with your whole heart, you need to read his word and believe it. You know, there's groups that they don't read the Bible at all. And God says, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, you ought to obey what he says. What's he say? Search the Scriptures. You ought to read that Bible every day. Jesus says, the words I speak unto thee, unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The very spirit of Almighty God is in those words. And they are powerful. When you witness, somebody says, well, they say they don't believe the Bible. Give them Scripture anyway. I wouldn't pay a bit of attention to that. They could say they don't believe it all they want. Just give them Scripture. And somebody says, well, I don't believe it. You know, the louder, more Scripture you give them, the more louder they'll say it, because the demons in hell fear it. And you give them Scripture and you teach it. Then it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That verse is against much of modern evangelicalism. They don't believe they have the words of God. They believe it's in some cave somewhere. Or it's they haven't dug it up, and when they dig it up, then they'll change it once again. But God's word is in our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's the one people memorize, is the Authorized King James Bible. And that's where it is. It's in our heart. And some preachers using the corrupt Bibles, they'll still be quoting the King James that they learned when they were younger. And you say, what's the issue all about? That in the name of updating the King James Bible, they have introduced scriptures that are false. They have introduced all kinds of false doctrines, and they're in there. That's why we mentioned this New Age Bible versions. It'll show you 2,500 changes of false doctrine that has been introduced to these modern corruptions. God has put us on this thing. I never believed that we would, or never thought about being on the radio. Somebody just invited me to come on a radio program and said that the station would pay for it. And since this time, it's worldwide. I couldn't pay for 15 minutes on one station. And God has just raised this up to tell people we've got his word. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart. You can't hide it in your heart unless you have it. Amen? There's all kinds of verses that say that we have God's word. We can look at it. The Bible talks about handling the word of God. We can handle it. We can look at it. We can have it in our heart. We can memorize it. We have it that we might not sin against thee. So the Bible says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And we bless God because he has given us his word, and the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And so we can speak it, declare it. And when we witness, we need to tell people God's word and quote it. When we preach, we need to preach God's word. When you get up, I hear ministers getting up there and correcting the word of God. Well, where's their authority gone? All this stuff goes on radio and television constantly. They're correcting God's word, the King James Bible. Where's the authority? It's themselves. Why should we believe them? Amen. When I first started this, I started studying their so-called corrections. You know, I started researching them. And I mean, they're false. And so it says, I will declare thy judgments of thy mouth. And so then it says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, reading the word of God is a source of rejoicing. I'm going to be speaking somewhere this Sunday, and I was talking on how you can have joy in your heart. Well, right here, you want to have joy in your heart, read God's word. I'm telling you, man, sometimes it just thrills me when I'm reading the promises of God. And it says we shall see his face. We're going to see the face of Jesus, and we're going to see it. The Bible says, when it says that blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He doesn't count iniquity against us. I think, my goodness, what a great, great promise that is. And we have a body like Jesus Christ, and it's so wonderful. And we read about this. That's where rejoicing comes from. And you might be depressed. What do you need to do? Read God's word. See, and then you can start rejoicing. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We're going to respect God's word when we read it. And correcting God's word is not respecting it. We ought to believe we have it, and then we ought to believe it. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So we to delight ourselves in it. You get together, talk about it. And you talk about God's word. It will give you joy. And it says you will delight in God's word. Okay, it says, I will not forget thy word. We're to memorize it and study it every day. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Well, we can't keep it unless we have it. And our life is based on God's word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's wonderful. And Brother Al's reading these scientific things and then the prophecies that God has told the Jewish people that he would bring them back to the land when they were scattered all over the world. Here they are back in the land again. What an incredible prophecy. God says, you'll no longer say the God that brought you out of Egypt, but the one that brought you from the north. And Moscow is directly north of Jerusalem. And millions have come from Russia back to Israel. And so these tremendous prophecies have been fulfilled. And it says, I'll look at wondrous things out of thy law. Now, very soon we're going to have a change of time for this radio program, and I'm going to interject that now before I forget it. You know, Brother Al just handed me a paper, and we're going to be on it another time, but you can look it up shortly, and we'll make announcement of that. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Don't hide them. God's word is not hidden. You can go down to the dollar store. It's amazing to me, you know. We can thank China today where you can buy large print Bibles for a very, very low price. And they're printing them in China, if you can imagine. They're printing King James Bibles, God's Word. Jesus can do anything he wants. And he has all power. My soul speaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. He longs for his word. He wants to read his word. Do you love to read God's word? Do you have God's word today? You ought to have it and you ought to read it. Thou hast rebuked the proud. They are cursed, which do err from thy commandment. You know, the people that attack the authorized Bible, they're proud. And that's one of the problems. The devil, it has the spirit of pride. But God's spirit brings us to humbleness and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Remove me from my reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Well, we can't keep God's word unless we have his word. And thank God today we have his word. Are you rejoicing in God's word? Do you have God's word today? We have it today. The other verses, the other translations, they come and go. But God's word, you know, today the King James Bible is, they have put out over 5 billion copies of that Bible. That is the word of God. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so God's people that read it, they keep going back to the authorized King James Bible because God has said this. You know, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God, he will guide you into all truth and he will abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit in people's hearts leads them back to the authorized King James Bible. And it says he will guide them into all truth. God's word is totally true. King James Bible is all truth. And when a person, they correct it, they're lying. And you don't follow somebody like that. It says the Holy Spirit will guide them into all truth. And the Holy Spirit has guided millions of people into this Bible. These Bibles, these corrupt Bibles, they don't agree with one another. There's thousands of words that are changed. But God has given us his true word. Do you read it today? Jesus told you to. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. So when people are talking against you, you don't think about that. You think about God's word, what God says. And you meditate in it. You digest it. You think about it. You memorize it. You talk about it. See? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Is God's word your delight? And do you get counsel from it? People would save themselves from a lot of trouble if they would be reading God's word. Because it is the source of joy. It is the source of peace. It is the source of salvation. It is the source of everything that is good and wonderful. And it will never pass away. And you can buy it at a dollar store. Almost any store like that will have King James Bibles. And you can pick it up and start reading it. I thank the Lord that He will keep His words today. And so we thank God for His words. We thank the Lord that we have His words. And today, start reading the Bible every day. And God will change your life. The very Spirit of God are in those words. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day and you rejoice in the great and tremendous promises that God has given us in His Word, the Authorized King James Bible. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.